We welcome you here to the Arabian Sports Talk on 91.7 WEEM. Hope you're all having a wonderful day. Once again, I'm Dawson Perrell.
I'm Zion Palmieri.
I'm Lucas Williams.
And I'm Ryan Davis.
And for today's episode, we are going to be looking at really just overall sports news, what's been happening around the sports world this week, and then maybe focus on a bit about college football with the later half of our episode. But starting off this evening, as we are recording this, is Thursday, just before the opening kickoff for the NFL season. That'll be this evening, 8:20 for our Eastern time. Lions Chiefs will be kicking off the NFL season again. And this one, I think, is highly anticipated. Of course, it's the first game of the season. That's part of why it's so highly anticipated. But I think the game itself, I mean, the Lions have been one of the team that's been just hyped up the most this offseason. They've made ton new additions throughout their roster, and they're looking very solid. But of course, the Chiefs, I mean, you can't argue too much against the Chiefs. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is just on a different level when it comes to those quarterbacks. So, I mean, he is just a phenomenal player. And I think he will, of course, be the X factor for not only tonight's game, but for the season. I mean, it's just unbelievable what he can do. And even if he doesn't have Travis Kelce, which it looked like he won't, Travis Kelce, of course, went down with an injury this past week in training camp, and it looks like he won't be back. There are still some rumors he could play, but I think in my eyes, if he's not 100%, I think what's the point, right? Yeah, sure. It's a big game, and it is very much a trendsetter. It's opening week, but at the same time, I think you don't want to take that risk of him getting injured right away just because it's one game, and you might lose one little aspect. And on top of that, it looks like the Chiefs Chris Jones might hold out. We'll still see about that. But as of now, personally, I think I'm on the Lions side of things. If I was a betting man, I would say I bet on the Chiefs, but just for fun, you know, I think the Lions have a real shot at it, and I have faith in them. I love the team. I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jared Goff had a good year last year, a new running back room with David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, and a very okay defense. I think this game could be a lot closer than people think, even though it is at Chiefs, by the way.
I am going to take Chiefs, like you said, if I'm betting. But I kind of hope the Lions win. That would be cool. Yeah. I think if the Lions want to have a good season, this is the perfect way to start. Get Chris Jones is out. Travis Kelce is probably out. This is the perfect chance to start a good season. Dan Campbell's awesome. He's one of the best coaches in the league right now, and he's an awesome coach to watch. And if anyone's going to coach him, it's going to be Dan Campbell. So I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, so for me, I'm going to take the Chiefs. I mean, me personally, I'm a Packers fan, and I have a certain hatred for the Lions. But I mean, Patrick Mahomes, he can do everything. I mean, you've seen it. You've seen his highlights. But one thing that the Lions have been struggling on is their secondary. Their secondary hasn't been very good the past few years. But I mean, you can't count out the Lions. Their O-line's great. You got two really pretty good running backs on the backfield. Two new running backs, actually. DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams both left. Jamal Williams to the Saints and
Swift to Philly.
Yeah, Philly.
Yeah, Philly. Yeah, but for the Chiefs, or the Lions, excuse me, last year they went 9-8, right? And I mean, they had over 500. Sure, they didn't make the playoffs, but they still had an okay year. And I don't want to say that they got any better necessarily. I mean, I'm not seeing any crazy additions necessarily, but I think just the players themselves have a huge chance of breaking out. I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think he just has so much potential. He's still very young, what, 23, 24 years old. So I think he has a ton of potential breaking out and going to that next level, that top five in the league. And then, yeah, I mean, Jared Goff, I think people don't realize how good of a year he had last year. I mean, statistically, sure, it might say one thing and then the actual performance might say another, but he has the potential. I mean, he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback at the end of the day. Sure. Yeah. He hasn't been the most consistent guy, and he might not be the guy you want at the front of your franchise, but he's a great quarterback. And I think the Lions could be looking very exciting this year. And this will have to start with this game. I think this is a huge game for the Lions specifically, because again, there's been a lot of hype around this team this offseason. And I think if they want to live up to that hype, they have to win this game. And say they lose this game, I think a lot of that hype is just instantly going to be lost. And you want that hype. That hype is good, right? You want people to look at your franchise and favorite it. So I'm pretty excited for this evening. I mean, I've been waiting all year for this, right? I've checked my fantasy team probably 20 times already today alone, just in preparation, making sure everything's all right. So yeah, I think it'll be a good game. And You know, again, I think I'm cheering for the Lions, but I think at the end of the day, I think it'll be a close one. But moving forward, looking at another big NFL article or news article this past week, Nick Bosa, the 49ers right end, signed a huge deal with, of course, the 49ers. He was holding out for a while. He was in disagreement with the 49ers organization, and eventually they came to a settlement. The contract details 5 years, $170 million, includes $122 million. That's guaranteed. He's now that's the highest contract out of any non-quarterback in NFL history. It's the highest, I think, annual salary ever from any defensive player. I think it's around $33 million. I think the original was the old record was Aaron Donald, who was getting paid $31 million, who is getting paid $31 million. So Nick Bosa trumps that. And on top of that, when it comes to guaranteed money for the entire contract, I think he actually beat out his brother, who had the record. Joey Bosa, I think, originally had the record for money guaranteed and a defensive player, which was about $100 million. Of course, Nick Bosa with $122 million guaranteed. And my biggest takeaway out of this is, the Bosa parents, the Bosa family is very happy because, man, you got two sons, both of them over $100 million guaranteed. You couldn't be happier.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Bosa is a great player on a great team. 49ers, very, very great. Whole lot of talent on that team, especially defense. The best defense in the league right now. Nick Bosa, yes, feel like he deserves a lot of money, but I don't know if $170 million.
It's a lot.
$170 million is a lot for edge rusher.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good contract. I like it. Well, for Nick Bosa. And I mean, defense wins championships. I think you're putting the money in the right players. I have this pulled up and it's like how the Niners like have spent their money. Nick Bosa's got the biggest. Then it's Trent Williams, Fred Warner, and then Eric Armstead. They're paying the right people. Mm-hmm. They're being smart with their money. I mean, even if it is a big contract, they're paying the right people. So it's perfect if you're a Niners fan. This is what you want.
Yeah, and I think Nick Bosa's contract is kind of overshadowing some other 49ers news, and that is Trent Williams and George Kittle actually restructured their contract, which is not the easiest thing to do. I mean, you got to definitely want your team to win, because pretty much restructuring at the end of the day is just pushing back your money and saying, I'll get it later. I'll get it in another year. And then the 49ers or whatever team is restructuring is going to save some money for that year. And I think they saved around $23 million in both of those contract restructures. So that definitely cleared up a lot of space. And I think it was because you're bringing on a load. And it's not like they are definitely loaded. And it's not like they're swimming in cap room, right? They got, oh man, Trent Williams, he's getting paid over $20 million a year. Fred Warner, I think, is over $20 million. George Kittle, I'm sure, is around the 17 mark. Sure, you're not paying a quarterback with, I think, Trey Lance, who of course, just got traded, so I guess that's out of the picture. But Brock Purdy, I think he's still on his rookie deal, which is probably nothing, considering he was the last pick in the draft. So, yeah, you're not paying a quarterback, but doesn't mean you're swimming in cap room just because that defense is getting paid so much.
Yeah, I mean, just overall, just there's so much talent there that everyone wants to get paid.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long they can hold that cap room up.
They got to win soon. That's about it.
I definitely think they're planning to win now because, yeah, as Ryan was mentioning, I don't know how long you're going to hold this money. And on top of that, you're aging. I mean, Trent Williams, I think, honestly, their hope at this point is that he retires because, like, you're going to be, once those contracts start ending up, you're going to be letting a lot of people go because at this point, it wouldn't surprise you if, like, average paid defense or something, 49ers has to be at the top because their defense is just, I'm sure, like, just defense to offense compared to, like, both of them, how much each side of the ball is taken away from the cap, I'm sure 49ers defense just completely blows the offense out of the water.
I'm looking at their ages right now, and most people on the 49ers defense, and they're pretty young.
Yeah.
What's his face? Fred Warner's only 26. I mean, they have older people like Eric Armstead. He's 29, which is older, I guess. Charvarius Ward is 29. But they have young stars like Talanoa Hufanga, who's an excellent safety.
And he's good.
And I think he's still in his rookie deal, but they have excellent young players. But that's what I mean. I don't know how long they can keep this going.
I want a wonderful job with the pronunciation, by the way. I would have butchered that.
Madden.
Yeah, I would have butchered that. I know I'm from Madden, but I don't even try. I'm like, oh, it's that dude. Yeah, I agree. He's a very good safety, though. But that'll do it really for the NFL side of things. I want to focus on college football, right? This past weekend was the college football opener. We saw, of course, most teams play. For the sake of the podcast and for the sake of most of our listeners, listeners, we're going to be focusing more on the local teams, IU, Purdue, maybe Ball State. We're going to talk a bit about their upcoming game, which is an interesting one. And then maybe some Notre Dame or some big games that we saw. Colorado, of course, had a ton of media attention. I mean, my gosh, I was scrolling through ESPN, Instagram on Saturday. I didn't think I saw one thing that wasn't Colorado related. So we might talk a bit about that. Maybe some big games for the upcoming week. I'll start off on the thing that I don't know how long I'm going to go ranting about that, but this is the Purdue game. And oh boy, this is one I'm just upset about. They had Frenzo State at home this past week. And in the end, it was a disappointing loss. They lost pretty bad too. I'm looking at the exact score right now. I don't remember exactly, but it was a high scoring ball game. I think it was in the 30s specifically, but Frenzo State, I mean, they're not even a Power 5 conference. It was 39-35. Was the final score. And I mean, again, you're at home, your season opener. I think Purdue paid the University of Frenzo State $1.2 million just to play them, which is a common practice we see in college football. A powerhouse or even just a Power 5 team will pay a small college to come play them week one just to get the hype going and just get the fans riled up, right? So we paid the money to come play to us thinking that we would have an easy win. It'd get the fans going, but then they came to our house and beat us. And it was sad. I was on the move a lot Saturday. I went to a couple places around Muncie and then back here in Anderson. So I didn't really get to sit down and watch the entirety of the game. I was following a lot on the radio. I was following a lot on ESPN. And yeah, I was pretty frustrated. I mean, we were close. We had a big lead. I think the biggest lead we had was, 17 points, if I'm correct. And we just lost that. So it's tough to see. And again, Purdue, if any of you are unsure around the table, they had a very new team this year. New quarterback, a transfer from Texas, Hudson Card, came in over the offseason. Additionally, you lost your star receiver in Charlie Browns. You lost one of your big running backs in King Daru. You still have Devin Mockaby. He was a freshman last year, had a great freshman year, who he's now a sophomore running back. I have a lot of potential for him. And then you saw a really good performance out of, what's his name, Burks, the wide receiver for Purdue. He had, I think, two catches and like two touchdowns. It was just like, you know, he was a deep threat all game, and he showed a lot of potential in his few catches. I'm sure he had more than just two catches, but I know he only had three or four, and two of them were touchdowns. So he looked great. And I think the biggest problem that I saw for Purdue was the play calling. I mean, there was a couple of those plays I was like, what are we doing? And that does get me a bit scared. Of course, we brought on a new head coach with Coach Walters, Ryan Walters. He was a defensive coordinator at Illinois, came over to Purdue, replaced Coach Brom, who went down to Louisville. And I think I was excited to see him, but after this game, I'm a bit worried because the play calling was rough. We didn't look that good. A couple of those plays, I was just, what is Coach Walters doing? And he doesn't do everything. Not all the blame has to go to him. I think a majority of it does, but not all of it has to go to him. So I think next week, Purdue, he's going to be on the road against Virginia Tech. We got to blow him out of the water. We lost at home. We got to go to someone else's crib and beat him up. And I think that's what I'm hoping in this next game against Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I want to go back to Hudson Card, the new quarterback for Purdue. He had a pretty good game, 254 yards with two touchdowns. And then Deion Burks, as you were talking about, had four receptions for 152 yards. And then the two touchdowns. He had a great game. But as you said, going to Virginia Tech, they're going to be hungry for a win. I feel like they're going to do really well against Virginia Tech.
You know, I'm an IU fan. Ooh. So yeah, I know I'm around Purdue people. And I would be lying if I say I was disappointed in them, because at least they only lost by 20 to Ohio State.
Fair enough.
Ohio State. Yeah. We're not going to win against them.
Exactly. It was Ohio State, so I wouldn't be entirely mad.
So whatever. First game, we lose. At least we didn't get absolutely killed. Mm-hmm. So you know what? I'll take that.
Not a big college football guy, but this is just funny. Like you said, they paid them to come beat them.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm just looking at the stats. It just looks like they couldn't convert on third down.
Mm-hmm.
2 for 12. That's just not going to do it. So probably play calling.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't even realize that stat. I'm sure I saw somewhere, but man, they were just you saying that sign. It's just bringing back some pain. But yeah, over that IU game, as Lucas was mentioning, 23-3. You hosted the IU. Ohio State Buckeyes. IU played Ohio State at home. Ohio State entering the season was third in the AP poll. Entering that game, they were third in the AP poll. But after, I would say, a generally close game. I mean, IU, you know, they're not the best football franchise, especially these past couple of years. They've had their moments, right? They've had some good games, and I'm not saying that they won't have a okay season this year. I just think, you know, they're not expected to have a crazy good year. They're expected to finish around the bottom half of the Big Ten. So considering you only lost to Ohio State by 3 scores, I don't think you walk out of this game completely devastated. I mean, sure, a loss is a loss. And I don't think if you get to the point where you're saying, oh, we only lost by this much, then you're looking bad. Like, then you're like, okay, that's how you know a team is not that good, when they're saying, oh, we only lost by this much. But again, some credit to IU. I don't really like Ohio State that much either. It's mainly because Ohio State, I have a friend that's just, you know, just bragging about how we're going to win it all. And it can get on your nerve. So I guess no disrespect to the Ohio State Buckeyes. They did nothing personally to me, but just really that friend that is always in my ear chirping about how they're the best team in college football. But looking forward on the schedule for Ball State, this is a game that we were talking about before we went on the started this episode. This week they're going to be going down to the old state of Georgia to be facing the back-to-back national champions, the first in the AP poll, the University of Georgia. And oh boy, I'm interested to see this one. I think is the best way to word it. I wouldn't say necessarily I'm a huge Ball State fan. I planned to go to Ball State after college, so I guess now I'm rooting for them a bit. But when I go to Ball State, I still plan to hang up Purdue in my room, in my dorm. I still plan to stick with my roots. But then again, I'm not going to be necessarily cheering for them. But with that being said, I just don't have much faith. University of Georgia, I mean, they've been the Bama of the past 2 years, which is kind of weird to say considering Alabama's actually in the league. They've been the 2000 Patriots of college football these past 2 years. What is it? Both years are undefeated, right? Yeah. I think they're back-to-back seasons undefeated. So, yeah, they're a crazy good team. I mean, it's going to be a killing. I hate to say it, but you know, maybe for Ball State, you get a couple scores on the board early, you scare them a bit. And then I think you can walk out of that game a bit happy with yourself. And additionally, like we were talking about with Purdue, I'm sure that Ball State's getting a bag going over there to play against Georgia.
Yeah. I'm saying if Ball State wins that game, I might become the biggest Ball State fan you've ever seen.
Oh, I agree.
I mean, Georgia all around is one of the greatest college football teams ever. Maybe not last year. Last year might have not been their greatest, but the year before, Jordan Davis, just that insane defensive line, insane secondary.
Yeah.
Stetson Bennett was a stud in college.
Yeah, Ball State, just to put this in perspective, 1.3% chance to win that game is what ESPN is saying. And then for the spread, trying to find that now real quick. Spread, Georgia, minus 42, which is yikes. That's yikes. Huge. Yeah. So I think that betting on Ball State would be a bold play there. So that game, I think, again, you know, you're getting a bag to play there. And if you can get a couple scores on the board, I think you walk out of there saying we might have proved something here today. But for Ball State last week, I know they played Kentucky, at Kentucky, I think, which is back-to-back road games, which is interesting. You don't see that much. So that I think they lost to them. I'm not sure the exact score to that one. If I can look it up real quick. I know it was a pretty big loss, if I am correct. Give me 1 second versus Kentucky. I know Kentucky over the past couple of years have been an okay program, not necessarily crazy. It was 44-14 was the final score. So yeah, that one's yikes too. So considering you're now going to go play Georgia, but I mean, again, I think they could get a couple of scores on the board. But now I want to focus over to the AP poll itself for the college football. Of course, each week the NCAA releases an AP poll as well as a coaches poll for the best teams in college football. And we saw a couple teams rise up on the boards first. Probably the most notably is Colorado. They weren't ranked last week. They jumped up now to 22nd after a very, very big win. I'm not sure, was it at home or is it on the road?
It was on the road.
It was on the road, yeah. So
TCU.
Yeah, TCU. TCU, you know, last year, of course, they were the sleepers. They made it to the national championship with Max Duggan by the skin of their teeth. And, you know, they lost big in the national championship. Of course, one of the biggest killings we've seen in a national championship game. And I think heading into this year, I picked Colorado. I participated in like the little ESPN pick'ems thing. It was like some little enter and you might win some prize or something. And I picked Colorado because personally, I think TCU was overhyped. They were ranked 17 heading into the year. And I just don't think, I think a lot of that ranking was just because of last season. They lost a lot of aspects. Their running back, Keandre Miller, who's now a Saint. Some of their defensive players they lost, of course, Keontae Johnson. Quentin, not Keontae. Well, I don't even know where that came from. Quentin Johnson, their running back, who's now a Charger, they lost. They lost. And of course, their quarterback, I was mentioning Max Duggan, who I have no clue where he is.
He's also a Charger.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, so he's also a Charger. So that's funny enough. But so I think a lot of this was the hype from last year heading into the season. And then for Colorado, of course, they've been the team of the offseason for the college football world. Of course, Deion Sanders, the former NFL corner, coached at Jackson State, a D2 school, or at least a very small D1
school. Yeah, I think it's small D1.
I think it was D1, but I think it was small. He coached over there and they had four seasons with him. They were very successful. He brought on several very good recruits, including the, I'm not sure exactly what year he hopped on Colorado. But Travis Hunter, the mix of wide receiver corner, can do it all. He was with Deion Sanders at Jackson State. And then when Deion Sanders went to Colorado, Travis Hunter followed suit, transferred over to Colorado with him, as long as several other players from that Jackson State team, and including, Deion Sanders' son, the quarterback, Sheon, I don't know if it was his name, but he's the son of Deion Sanders, and he had a very, very good game. Just taking a look at that box score in that first week against TCU, final score of that one, 45-42, a high scoring matchup where, of course, Colorado walked away with the win on the road. Shendir Sanders, we'll go with Shendir. I don't know. He had 510. Are you going to say maybe?
I think it's Shador.
Shador.
I could be wrong.
Zion's the man with the names with that 49er safety. So we'll go with that. Shador Sanders. He was 510 yards in the air, four touchdowns. He was 38 for 47 with zero picks. I mean, that is a nearly spotless quarterback stat line. And then for the rushing side of things, we saw Wilkerson and Edwards get into the end zone with a rushing touchdown each. For Travis Hunter, of course, the mix of the wide receiver and corner, he had 11 receptions on the offensive end for 119 yards. And then he also had an interception on the defensive end as well, several pass breakups. So I think Travis Hunter, I mean, sure, you might give Sanders the player of the game for Colorado, but I mean, I think I saw Hunter played 110 snaps on both sides of the ball, which is insane. I don't know how you play 110 snaps of college football and you're not like dead at the end of it. Like I would just be exhausted. I would just, oh man.
Yeah. Did you see that when Travis Hunter did the interview right after, he said he wouldn't play more. He wouldn't play more football.
Yeah. That's what's going to get you top whatever pick in the NFL. Cause that is insane.
Yeah. He, also, everyone was talking about Travis Hunter. No one talked about Shadir Sanders or however you say it.
Yeah.
No one talked about how good Deion Sanders' son, I'm just going to say, Shadir. But
Deion Sanders talked about it after the game. That's true. Did you see his comments about it afterward?
Uh-huh.
Just no one was talking about him, all about Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he deserved it.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, I don't know what year Sanders is going into. I'm going to look real quick. He's a junior. So, I mean, I don't know, maybe a sleeper pick for an NFL team. I mean, of course, that's main reason you're playing college football. And man, putting up 510 yards and four touchdowns, that'll get you a lot of looks from some professional NFL team. So I think Colorado was such a great game. But taking a look at some of the other AP poll rankings, another big team, Duke, flying up the rankings, of course, our very own from Pendleton, Eli Pankel, on that Duke squad. Unfortunately, he didn't have a catch against the Clemson Tigers, but congratulations to Eli Pankel and the Duke squad. Of course, going to Clemson, going to Death Valley. No, that was home. I take that back. That was at Duke. Because I remember Clemson posted the thing and it was like all Clemson fans in the stands. And I think, sadly enough, Duke's program is just that, you know, a very small football program. The stadium's very small. But, I mean, you hosted Clemson and you got the win. Clemson heading in that game was ninth on the AP poll. Duke, I'm sure they won't even consider in the AP poll. I think they're really considered around the same level as some of the lower teams when it comes to Power 5 football teams. And, I mean, it was definitely an upset. I'm not sure exactly what the spread was for Clemson, but I'm sure Duke just completely blew that out of the water. Of course, winning the game at 28-7 on top of that. I mean, you only allowed one score, and I hate to say it, but I think it was, I hate to say it for both sides, but I think it was less of a Duke masterclass and more of a Clemson. Sorry, did your watch go off?
Yeah, my watch.
You're right. I think it was less of a Duke masterclass and more of a Clemson just disappointing game.
Yeah. Clemson's coach's name is Dabo Sweeney? I think what it is.
Oh, I could look it up. Right. But I think
I'm pretty sure. But he had an interview right after the game. He was saying like it was the worst game he's ever seen.
Yeah.
Like in his coaching days, and like it's gonna be different next year.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I'm not sure if that's necessarily a crazy thing to say. I mean, sure. I'm sure in the heat of the moment, he was saying, oh, this team is horrible. Like he was really mad. And I don't know if he'd make the same comments if he was interviewed now, but again, I don't think it was too far off. But take it again, just looking a bit more at the AP poll, Georgia will remain on top. No surprises there. Michigan will remain at second. Again, no surprises there. They had a big week one win. Bama will climb the ladder. They move up to 3 in replacement of Ohio State, who was originally the 3rd on that AP poll. Florida also, well, they move up 4 spots. Florida State, that is, excuse me. Florida State moves up 4 spots. They had a big, big win week one. Florida State Seminoles, of course, a couple of years ago in the 2010s, they were a big squad. Reggie Bush, I mean, they were known as a great team, but they had LSU. LSU was the 5th ranked team in the state or the country, not the state, the country. And they beat them pretty big. I think it was 43-22 or something like that. So they moved up 1 and then Ohio State moved down 2, which again, they won against IU, but I think it was just because they only won by 20, which is kind of a strange thing to say, but only winning by 20 is definitely a thing that'll move you down a couple spots in such a competitive top 5. And that's exactly what happened to Ohio State. 6 and 7 remain the same team, USC and Penn State. And then we saw a couple movement down the way. LSU dropped 9 spots to 14. And then just taking a look at some of the other big movers, North Carolina all the way up to 17, which is actually, I'm kind of surprised to see. UNC had a rivalry game, it looked like, or I guess University of South Carolina is sort of a rivalry. I don't know if it's their rivals. Of course, Duke is the big rival in North Carolina at Chapel Hill, but South Carolina, I think, is a big, big rivalry game, and they blew them out of the water. So UNC, their football program has definitely been showing their true colors recently. They've been climbing up the boards. And then, of course, Clemson dropping all the way down to 25. So they're just clinging on there to the bottom of the AP poll.
Going back to that Florida State LSU game, sorry about that, but
no, you're good. Go ahead.
I watched that game and it was Florida State was up by 4 at halftime and they just did not let off the gas, and LSU did. It was Travis Hunter's their quarterback. I do nothing about this team before the game, and he played great football, and it was just, you know, with football right around the corner, it was just a beautiful game to watch. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
I want to talk about Washington being number 8 in the AP poll. I didn't know they were good.
Yeah, they have been a big football program, I guess. Recently, they've kind of been falling off, but they're big, and that's one of the teams I'm most scared for joining the Big Ten here shortly.
It was IU's transfer quarterback, Michael Penix Jr.
Really?
He's in the Heisman
race. Oh, yeah, Penix Jr. I totally forgot about that. He is in the Heisman race, and he's a good quarterback.
He's doing really good at Washington right now.
Uh-huh. All right, but I think that'll do it for our time here. Once again, we hope you all enjoyed this episode of the Sports Talk. You can expect an episode every week. Next week, we'll be meeting with that other group to maybe talk a bit more about the football, NFL side of things. Of course, by the time we talk to you guys next, the first NFL weekend will be in the book, so we might talk a bit about that and some other sports as well. So once again, that'll do it. We hope you all enjoyed. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Talk, 91.7 WEEM.